Romans 8. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now, this now here has nothing to do with time, but position. And each person has to see this, because judgment must first begin at the house of God. So the whole creation is groaning and travaileth in pain together until now. When is the now? When you enter into the rest. Do you understand that? In order to understand it, let's go to Revelation 12. Well, no, go to Galatians 4 first. And it's a unique verb tense and word in the Greek that it has nothing, it doesn't mean time. But anyway, let's, Galatians 4. Well, there's a whole bunch we could study there, but just go to verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Again, the same context, same idea. Now go to Revelation 12. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, in pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and the 7 crowns upon his head. Now remember, this is the same beast that John saw in Revelation 13. You understand that? Remember what I've said so often. This book of Revelation, is always true. It's always going on. From God's standpoint, what's going on in you is the most important thing in the universe with regard to this revelation or the expression of his Son in you. And so the whole process of understanding the book of Revelation and, in fact, the scriptures itself bring this to the forefront. Just this woman with child is the same metaphor of Christ being born in you, the one we just spoke of. Now watch. There appeared in another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. Again, the metaphor of the birth of Christ in you, the rebirth. And everything in time and space is trying to destroy that revelation, especially you. Now, it's true in universe, but it must be also be true in you. Am I communicating to anybody, or am I just sounding crazy? Huh?
But I don't want to wax philosophic, but yes. It's the same thing as all men die at the same time.
Right.
It's the same thing as a drop of water is the same as the ocean. It's
right.
It's the same thing as the smallest thing God has made is visible.
It's going to be emphasized in a minute, because it talks about the first fruit. So let's go back to Romans 8. This is hard to get your head around because we're so used to thinking and reading without understanding this thing that has to happen in each one of us so it will be revealed in all of the earth and all of the universe. All right, wait a minute. I lost my place. Because I lost this. All right. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now the redemption of our body is this mystery of Christ being revealed in you, so that you are no longer tossed to and fro by all the wind and waves of doctrine and the sleight of men where they lie in wait to deceive. The sleight of all men, but specifically the sleight of you that lies in wait, your mind lies in wait to deceive. So Peter said it, judgment must first begin at the house of God. If it must begin at the house of God, it must begin in each one of us individually. Can you see this panorama? It's true in all of the universe. It's true, but in order to see that it's true in all of the universe, you have to see that it's true in you. That's why the scriptures say everything that happens is for your benefit, that you might see this. Am I getting any understanding besides Harry shaking his head? Mr. Santa? She's accepting it conditionally. All right, well, let's just for the time being, accept that what, please. Do you understand? Let's go to Revelation 13. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. The same beast that's in Revelation 12, right? He saw it in the heavens. Now he sees, I believe it's what he's saying, is he saw his reflection. He saw it in him. He saw this beast that was the whore of Babylon sitting on the seven mountains of his mind. Now, okay. And we could go through all the rest of it, but the main part of it here is that the evil one is raised from his deadly head wound, and that's what happens every single time that you give breath to self. I think I'm not being understood. Or something is not. What's going on, Wade?
Just overall, the last few days of morning Bible studies, like there's nothing more important than the relationship with Him, and anything else is idolatry.
That's right. Kevin? Any of this making any connection?
Yeah.
He'll be back next week.
All right, back to Romans 8. I promise you, this is the reason, remember I say so often that the book of Revelation is always true. It's over all of time and space, from the beginning to the end. It's true in every... Well, this is why I say that, because every one of these issues, the four horsemen coming out, you know, that's every one. That's every one of the, how many horses have you let out yesterday? You know, it's just. But I think I'm talking to the ceiling.
Why do you keep saying that?
Hmm.
Why do you keep saying that?
Because I don't sense. The connection.
think it's the, what I'm thinking about. It's the opposite. Going back to self, it's like it's the other way around. You know, going to the rest, because self is the
milieu,
like the water.
The milieu.
And jumping out, the fish getting out of the water is, you know, going into the spiritual.
Right, because again, that,
I mean, it should be the other way around.
Right, but
it
maybe
should be, you know, the exception of going to self. But I think at this point it's the opposite. The exception is going to the rest.
Well, this is why, again, when Jesus told Peter that I'll make you fishers of men, what happens to a fish when it's caught?
It flops around and dies.
It dies. I mean, and so the whole idea in every one of the metaphors, to me, it reveals what I'm saying. But again, if you're still back in the ocean, then the fish is going to think it's going to stay alive no matter where it is. Well, we'll probably spend more time in this, but let's go back to Romans 8. Did I say that?
To me, this also speaks to now you're members of the body of Christ. Now you're the body of Christ, the members in particular. This is what we're talking about in all things, really, but this is what we're talking about is taking place in the universal sense, but it also has to take place in the sense of the single cell of the body. Every single cell of the body of Christ has to...
Amen.
Be perfected, or see this, or enter into the rest, or I don't even know what it is that has to happen. But
again, it's location of sphere. It's position. There are no options in the Bible. There are only positions. There's the position in time and space, which is the position of corruption, of vanity, of sin, of emptiness, of aloneness. And there's the position in eternity, which is in Him, which is the position of all things are finished. You've been perfected by one offering. Everything is existing for your sake. There's no in between. It's either black or white, on or off. It's digital. And it's complete in each environment. You're completely lost in the environment of time and space, and you're completely redeemed, saved, at rest, at peace, contented, in the other milieu, eternity. I said milieu, didn't I? This is a tour de force of what?
All right.
And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Waiting, again, remember, adoption is huiothesios. Waiting for the fullness of the Son to be revealed. And everything until that point is struggle. And simply, you're in total rest. And again, it doesn't count if you go to the rest a little bit, and everyone, you know, well, I was at rest a minute ago, and then I'm not. It's this constancy that God is concerned with, that we leave this kingdom of darkness and are translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And in that kingdom, we have the first fruit of that kingdom. And again, there's all these questions. We'll see. The first fruit is the whole. All right. The first fruit. Let's go, first of all, let's look at a bunch of first fruit things. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. You see why at the beginning I thought that it would be a miracle if even one person ever heard this stuff? Second Corinthians 5, verse Well, we'll start. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house or temple is really what it says, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. We are aliens in time and space. There is no ally other than that which came from him, from eternity. You cannot have an ally in time and space, because then you become, you will, if the ally, if you're an ally, if you have an ally in time and space, then you're not in him. You understand that a little bit? There is nothing in time and space that's your friend. And there is nothing in time and space that can do you any harm. There's nothing in time and space that can affect you in any way except to try to remove you from that mercy seat, from that position of completedness and fullness and peace. Nothing. And only your mind can remove you. That's too important. Let's go back to Romans 8. I'm ripping up my Bible six ways from Sunday. What?
If only we could find one like that.
I have one like that. It's a perfectly new Bible.
You do.
Somebody got it for me. Who got it? Was it you?
Gary Martin.
No.
He worked for a month to get it for you.
We're going to read ahead here a little bit. Start in verse 28. And just see what we've just talked about in the context of what this next these few verses are about. Remember, everything that leads up to verse 28 and to the end, to 39, all came from the predicate of this that we've just talked about. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purposes. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, and again, notice that all this is now in the past tense. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things, if God be for us? Who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If the predicate for what we just studied isn't true, then none of this can be true, because you'll be led astray and there'll be apparent enemies everywhere. So you've got to see this in its completeness. And the end has to be seen in you and I before it can be, and we have to see the end in us before we can see and really before we can understand the book of Revelation. If you think there's anything left to do, if there's anything left to see, if there's anything that remains that's unfinished, then I promise you, your mind will be blinded. And that's why it's so critical that he said, he that loveth his, I mean, unless you hate your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, blah, 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 you cannot be his disciple. Because every one of those things will draw you away from this position. Now, it just means those, you can't have any more labels. You can't give people labels. The idea of calling it, you know, you go. I used to go to these churches when I spoke, and they'd be introduced as Brother Anthony, or and there's Sister Sue and Sister Carolyn. That's sorcery. I have a sister named Sandra, but I certainly would never call her Sister Sandra. I can't believe Carolyn would ever call Michael Brother Michael. You know that you know. If you don't know, then you have to use sorcery to make it up. Now, one more scripture, and then I'm going to quit. 1 John 5. This isn't going anywhere as near what I thought it was going to go. 'Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.' And that's so big that we can't even comprehend it. Because if you can confess that Jesus is the Christ, then it's impossible for you to ever have any anxiety, any situation that would trouble you. It's impossible. Because he is the Christ, the desired, the end result of all of time and space. But that's not what I want to study. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So the love between the brethren has nothing to do with what's going on between the brethren. The love, if two people know that he is the Christ in the fullness of what that meant, the love between them is greater than any love that you could ever imagine. But to try to love somebody or write a book on how to love is putting on the Babylonian garment. I wished I had better words. We'll study first fruits tomorrow. Or whenever we meet again. Has it piqued your curiosity? Or is there understanding? Except for Kevin, who will be back next week.
I like to watch Dog the Bounty.
You and Bloom.
Kimberly. They always catch this young bell jumper, and they always ask him, "Have you done drugs? We're about to take you into lockup, and they're going to check you." No, I haven't done any drugs. And they reach in their pocket, and there's two crack pipes, and it's the addiction. It's not. They don't see themselves as addicted. They just see that crack is just. That's like breathing to them, and. It's the same way I see, you know, being concerned about things, or worried about things, or needing to solve things. I can hear what you're saying, but, you know, I have to solve this problem. It's just, the addiction is complete where it's not an addiction anymore, it's just who I am.
Yeah, but the promise, and if you can hear what I'm saying, then the promise is that he that has begun the good work in you is faithful to complete it. And that's the rest.
We were talking to somebody last night that, you know, is just in turmoil. And they know that, but they don't see any other way.
But that's why, can you see how evil it is from God's perspective to teach how-tos or what to do about something or how to get or how to do? Because it's the thing which takes you off the mercy seat and takes you away from faith and brings you back into law.
Better be important.
Well, we're over, so take it big guy. I didn't even think it was working.
Somebody had the ringer on.